Hey folks, welcome to the Afterburn Soccer Show. It's just me right now. I'm hoping Jose will jump on here in just a minute and join me, but I don't know. He's his own man. He can be where he needs to be, but it's just us now, right now, to talk about FC Dallas and North Texas Soccer Club. Got a few clips to show, so it won't be entirely solo, and we'll take the comments and questions from you faithful listeners, watchers, as we break down recent results with FC Dallas and North Texas Soccer Club. My name is Nathan Hill. By the way, you can follow me on X, on Twitter, at Nathan J. Hill. And you can also follow the Afterburn Soccer handle if you want to be reminded every time we go live using that platform. But we're also live on YouTube and on Facebook. So we'll see how things are going. Just to see if Jose can jump on, but it's this is live sometimes. It's tax day. There's a lot going on today. So let's get into it. FC Dallas, another 0-0 draw at this point in the season. At home, though, against the Seattle Sounders, and the at-home part is the part that stings for this team, as they were hoping to get that full 3 points, get that win at home, get the season back on the right track. And while a draw is not the end of the world, certainly not the end of the world for a team that has been struggling, especially defensively this season, it's not quite enough. It's not where, you know, we wanted the team to be, and where I think fans want the team to be. And we'll get into that in just a minute here too, as we get some post-game clips and hear from Nico and hear from Pedar Musa after the match. A 0-0 draw. Certainly not going to win you many awards, but points are points in any soccer league. You'd rather have points than no points at all. And I think there were positives. I do think for the second game in a row, the defense looked much more solid, much more cohesive, much more organized. They looked competent. Going forward, there were opportunities. There certainly were dangerous moments, but it was not enough to really get that ball into the net, really to break down Seattle. And Seattle, of course, is always a good defensive team, and they've had a bit of their own slow start to the season as well. So, you know, sometimes against a good team like Seattle, who probably had the better, who definitely had the better chances on the night than FC Dallas did, a 0-0 draw, you know, is not the end of the world against a team that we know come at the end of the season will likely be very, very much in contention for a playoff spot. But that still leaves us pretty frustrated as fans to see this team spend money, have this competent, pretty veteran roster shaping out, and not being able to find ways to break down your opponent and just get that goal to make something happen. You know, it wasn't the most exciting game in the world, but it was a pretty decently. I mean, there were opportunities, so I guess you can't be. It wasn't a boring draw fest that we sometimes see in this league and in other leagues. So you know, that's the positive we start with, right? As we say with our friend RT here, just good to be defensively sound again. But let's go ahead and get into some clips here, and we'll see if that gives time if Jose or some others might want to jump on the call with us. Oh, yeah, Jose's coming. He'll be on here in a minute. But here, let's go ahead and listen to Pedar Musa with his reaction to the game after the match.
Yeah, unfortunately, we didn't expect this result, but we take points. I think that most of part of the game, we control the game. We have some chances, we didn't score, yeah, but we need to looking forward and keep working what we miss in the final part of the game. And yeah, now focus on the next match.
I like hearing sometimes professional soccer players, just because I know they have been through, you know, part of even getting to the top of any league is experiencing the grind and results that don't go your way. And you know what happens. It even happens to the best teams. It happens all the time, the professional game. The games don't go the way you wanted. Oh, and here's Jose. Thanks for.
I got delayed.
It's all right.
Thought I'd
That's
make
all
it
right.
on
You're wearing
time.
your Cowboys jersey. All right. It's the NFL draft week, right? Isn't it? Isn't that coming
It's
up?
coming.
All right. Well, and it's tax day. But anyway, just heard Peter Musa talking about the disappointment for him that this team felt like they controlled the game for the most part, but just couldn't get it done in the final third. Two draws in a row. What were your reactions to the 2-0, the second in a row, this 0-0 draw for FC Dallas?
I might be in a minority, but I'm pretty happy with the result. It's Seattle. It's always hard to get a W against Seattle. It doesn't matter where you play these guys. And they're coming off a 5-0 trucking of Montreal. And let's face it, they're a very dangerous team. So I know for some fans it's very disappointing. Maybe for a lot of fans it's disappointing, but a 0-0 result against draw against Seattle anywhere is always a good result, even though it's at home. But let's not pretend like this team has been playing well enough to get 3 points at home.
I think that's a good point. It's a good way to think about it. I mean, fans don't want to hear that. Fans want to see Musa tapping in goals, heading in goals. But it's not like he had the greatest service in the world. The best chance for Dallas was Sebastian Letjet's header. He should have done a little bit better on. But credit also to the defense of Seattle. And Seattle's always good at defense. I mean, this is. These two teams, we've had to face each other in the postseason in recent years, and we always know we're going to get a chess piece like defensive battle. They're just not going to give you a lot. They're not going to make the dumb mistakes. So what I don't think fans were expecting a 5-0 blitz, but
But some were worried about it. I mean,
right,
they won't admit it,
sure.
but some people were worried about Seattle coming into it. I mean, people were openly talking about, hey, if we get embarrassed, Nico's getting fired. Nico was going to make sure that didn't happen. Nico was going to play for a 0-0 draw and try to walk out with a 1-0 win. Look, the more this team changes, the more it stays the same. At the end of the day, if Jesus is not on the pitch starting for this team, nobody's scoring. Look at the history. If Jesus doesn't play and doesn't score, this team doesn't win. So, I mean, yes, we've added Musa, and he's still getting acclimated. And I'm a positive guy. It's just a matter of time before he clicks. But until he does, if Jesus isn't starting, 0-0 is honestly a probable result. 1-1 maybe, because this team, even if they score, they haven't shown consistently, at least not this year, that they're good enough to hold on to a lead. So, we really do need Jesus back at the end of the day. Get him back, get his goals back, get him on. And then once him and Musa start to click, then we can start talking about getting W's consistently. But until now, this team getting draws may simply be what we're in for a little bit. And we're going to Colorado this next weekend. A team that, let's face it, has our number consistently. A 0-0 draw or 1-1 draw in Colorado would be an excellent result for this team, the way they're playing, with really the worst to second worst attack in the entire league.
Well, let's jump over and hear from Nico his immediate reaction over what was lacking on Saturday night.
Quality. A lot of quality. This is what I told the guys. But not only quality on the technical execution on the shots, because we had 12 shots, but only two on target, if not in the decisions. The first half, most of the situations that we had, they were open to shoot, and then we pass. And then in the second half, most of the situations were more to pass, and then we shot. Then it's like, I think we improve in certain areas that we were lacking. I think that solid part of the defensive side, it's really important for us to recover, and from there we have to grow.
From there, we have to grow. Just quality, lacking quality, making the right decisions. And I you know, and from my tracking of the game, I would kind of agree that in the first half, you know, that they were looking for the pass instead of taking a shot. And so some of the moments that they should have just blasted it on goal, they looked for that next shot. Then in the second half, they shot a little too eagerly, maybe weren't looking for the right outlet. Of course, it's tricky. It's hard. It's easy for us to watch from afar and go like, oh, they should have made the right decision. It's all happening so fast for those guys. But quality, I mean, they lacked quality. How do you interpret that, Jose?
Well, it's this team that has very little to no attacking rhythm right now. They're snatching at shots, and when they're not snatching at shots, they're just simply not taking shots. So it's simply the confidence in the attack right now is as low as it can possibly be. And frankly, I think some of the players that are in position to take a shot, they treat it like it's the one and only shot they're going to take the whole game, and they rush it. They don't. You're seeing very, very little placement. You're seeing shots that, yes, only two were on goal, but there were some that were open enough that they should have been put on goal, but the players, you know, simply skied them. You know, it's just a team that the attack, I mean, it's behind the defense. Let's face it, Nico's finally got the defense playing not great, but enough that they don't look completely lost out there like they were. And someone said it might have been Bus from Third Degree that said, you know, it feels like this team is just now coming out of preseason and is finally getting into regular season mode. I mean, it's been this way every time, every one of Nico's years in charge. The team simply at the start of the season has looked like a team that's still in preseason, and this is no different. This is a team that's now getting its pieces back, and it's just late to the party, and hopefully it'll get going. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's what he's been doing. It's basically this team, whatever their preseason preparations or whatnot, they are lacking. And in the past, they've played other teams that were lacking also, but not this year. This year, they've come into teams that are well ahead preparation-wise compared to Dallas. And now, like I said, Nico's got the defense finally kind of figured out. And that's what it's going to be. It's going to have to be rely on defense until Jesus gets healthy and everybody that is possibly able to play is available, you know, is all on the same page. And that could be a couple of weeks. So we may be in for, like, at the end of last season, draw after draw after draw, and until the team gets fully healthy and finds their attacking groove. And that could be a while. Mm.
Yeah, and I think, you know, RT, to your question there, you know, is there an immediate solution? Jesus getting healthy would be a big boost. I know that's not going to happen in one game. It's going to take a couple of weeks still if he starts to practice with them. And they certainly don't want to rush him back. I think having some other options, Farfan, Jovan, Jesus, eventually. But
yeah, the only solutions that will come in the summer transfer window are on defense, really, or the midfield. That's it, not in the attack. The attack will simply get better with time, with the attacking players getting healthy. The only solution that's going to come from the transfer window is possibly a better center back option or a better wing back option. But that's it. That's really should be the priority for this team. The attack is sputtering because all the attackers, the best attackers, are injured. Your top three attackers on paper should be Musa, Jesus, and Velasco. Velasco will get back eventually and could take a while to get going. Jesus has a recurring injury, and Musa is getting settled in. Until those three guys get clicking, this is what we got. I mean, Jesus will help alleviate some of that because, again, go back to the last couple of seasons. It's Jesus. A good defensive performance and Jesus scoring a goal tends to be the difference. And that's what it's going to be until Musa gets settled in. Hmm.
Well, and I think, yeah, it's a bit early to think about the summer transfer window. And I think
not a lot of fans are begging for it to arrive. Quicker than usual.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, because there may be right now the need may look different. You know, the need that they have right now may be a different need come closer to that time, depending on how the team is playing and whether there's a coaching change made. If things get worse, what direction they want to go in, and if they want to offload some players and start a rebuild or whatever. But we've got some time here before we.
I'm not on the Nico's in the hot seat talk like a lot of people are. It's the Hunts, you know. They're not gonna fire Nico unless this team is facing the prospect of missing the playoffs. So he'll get a pass until, you know, because of all the injuries, he'll get a pass. And as long as he rights the ship and stops losing, stops allowing two goals a match, and gets the team, like I said, getting a draw here, draw there, not getting embarrassed at home, he'll get a pass until the Hunts feel that the team may be in, facing the possibility of missing the playoffs. Until then, you guys, I wouldn't get too excited about Nico getting fired. And before you get too excited that maybe it does happen, stop to think who they're going to bring in to replace him. It's not going to be a big name manager. It's going to be somebody who's like Nico and Lucci before him are making their managerial debuts. So, or have minimal managerial experience, because that's just the way the Hunts are. So I have less faith in them replacing Nico with somebody better on short notice than if they had the entire offseason. Then I might get my hopes up. But yeah, they don't pay well enough to attract any name managers, I should say.
Yeah, so we have time. Now I want to go back to something that RT put in the chat there, but our wingback situation. And actually I have been, you know, had a different opinion about this too. I feel like Paul Ariola was solid enough this week. Sure, we want to see a little bit more action in the final third. We want to see a little more being clean on the ball. But he tracked back. He worked his butt off, and I think did all right. Dante Seeley is the one that fans are really struggling with, and folks are struggling with. And yet, I feel like this was one of his better games. Certainly, much for him to improve on. But I felt like what you want to see from your wingbacks in this kind of formation is getting the ball forward into dangerous spots and creating opportunities. That doesn't mean they're always going to come out. I don't know that our left wingback is going to score multiple goals, digits. You know, that would be amazing. He probably wouldn't be with us long if he did that. But can you create situations? Can you get in there and create opportunities and try to take those when you get them? And I feel like Dante did that. Yes, Dante had some turnovers. Yes, he probably could have done a little more tracking back to help defensively and things. But I thought this performance was much stronger than what we had seen the past few weeks. So, Jose, are you on? You know, are you in a similar boat, or are you in the harsh camp?
Look, as far as the wingback situation, it's not going to get resolved until Giovanni Jesus hits the field and the summer transfer window rolls around and we reinforce the position on both sides. That's when it's going to get resolved. The only way to resolve it right now is to go to a 4-3-3 and not use wingbacks at all. That's honestly the honest solution right now. And unfortunately, Nico simply doesn't want to do that. So we're stuck in a wingback situation. Doesn't get resolved until the summer. Right now, Seeley, I'm probably one of his few defenders left. And the bottom line is he's the youngest player out there. And I'm a guy who says, hey, you know, you're investing in a 20, 21 year old player starting, in a team that has gotten away from, play the youth, you know, play the homegrowns. Dante's it. He's the only young guy getting minutes, and for a manager who's shown who doesn't like to play young players, if we're struggling, why not give young players playing time? And I've been one of these guys who says, who's behind him? That's the problem right now with this team, is there's nobody behind Dante Sealy. Farfan is not a wing back. And right now, the answer is there's nobody. And that's just a sad state of this team. All the hate coming Dante Sealy's way, it's not his fault. It's the manager's fault. The manager is forcing this team to play two wing backs, and is forcing to play Sealy and Areola in those positions. And he could easily get away from that, but he's, for whatever reason, he's decided to make his bed there. And maybe once the midseason rolls around and the team figures it out, maybe at the end of the season he'll be a genius, but right now he's looking anything but.
Well, and just when they went to the four back line in a few games back, it just really didn't work either. It was pretty awful looking, and maybe just the fact that they had that draw in St. Louis, hey, let's keep some continuity going, and also this is what we worked on throughout the preseason. Maybe it's worth getting through these growing pains to really get more comfortable.
It's going to be frustrating no matter what. Like, for example, I've been a guy who defended Dante Sealy. Dante Sealy could have a great game next week. It doesn't prove me right at all, because he's a young player. He could have one good game and then follow it up with three terrible games. That's just the pain of playing a young player like that. There's no inconsistency. There's zero consistency. And this lineup that we're running, it can be said the same thing for other players that are playing out of position. Paul, he's a veteran. He's going to work hard. He's going to have some games where he's good, but he's going to be some other games where he just doesn't do what he's supposed to. He's just simply playing out of position. Can he play the spot? Yes. Is it optimal? No. And that's just it. Is Hunquist the same way? He's playing solid, but there's going to be games where he's simply not going to play well enough because that's not his ideal position. And so on and so forth. This Legette, he's being played out of position. I mean, maybe he's not completely out of position, but he could be used better elsewhere. And that's, unfortunately, this formation creates, currently, with all these injuries, is creating more problems than solutions. And there really is no answers. I mean, nobody's going to be happy with anybody. I mean, it's frustrating right now to be a fan. And honestly, like I said, a 0-0 result against Seattle, with the way this team's playing, it's a great result. We deserve better, but we're not getting it right now.
Well, let's probably the most viral I've gone on Twitter this week. In the post-game call, I asked Nico kind of what he would say to fans who were frustrated and angry over this poor start to the season. And there was a little bit. It was fascinating because I think Garrett Melser, who works for FC Dallas, try to showcase it as a example of the passion that Nico has, but other fans were a little frustrated and disappointed to see what Nico had to say. But let's here it is in its full beauty.
The slow start to the season.
Well, first of all, that we love them, you know, and as I told the players before we went out to the field, said when I met the fans in my first year, right, before the season start, I asked them, what are you looking for from the team? When you are in the stadium, what do you want to see? And they told me, like, passion, effort, and the play together, you know, they are a unit. And this is what I told them. This is why we have sold outs. We didn't have the first year, we start having, then the second year more, and the third year, every single game that we play here is sold out. Why? Because they identify with the players that fight there. Sometimes we'll play better, sometimes we'll play worse, but we're giving everything that our fans are asking to us. And we want to win a lot. We want to win a lot for them. Today, we wanted to win for them, because they're supporting us every single time. And I see them. And I like some guys, that some of them are mad and disappointed because we didn't win. That's good, you know. I'm mad too, but I cannot express like they can do it, you know. I have to control. I have a job to do. I have to carry a lot of responsibility here. But I'm mad like them, you know. We want to win, but we'll win for them. We want to win for them, and we'll get back because we love them and we love to play in front of them. Trust me that our players feel their support, and we feel it.
Is that a coach feeling a little heat on his seat? That's how some folks thought it. I think Nico is very passionate about the game, so I certainly have seen him come out passionately before in pre and post games. He's analytical at times and things, but he also understands the passion of the game and the value of fans and this, how important fans are to his team doing well. What were your reactions to those comments, Jose?
He's saying all the right things. You know, it's all he can do is tell you that and say, hey, we're going to turn it around. We're going to, you know, he has to show passion. And I think he needs to do more of that. I mean, I think he needs to be seen doing that more often. And he's, like you said, he's a controlled, reserved guy. It would be really nice to see him showing more fire and seeing that hopefully spread into the team, because let's face it, that's hasn't been there consistently. We've seen it in Spurs, we've seen it, but have we yet to see this team do it for 90 minutes where the whole team's just fired up and you see it here and there, but you see a lot of frustration. You see a lot of players that at times look just on the verge of going the opposite direction. So that's why the draw against Seattle, the draw on the road in St. Louis, they're building blocks. There's something that where the manager can say, see, look, we've stopped the leaking. We've stopped the leaking on defense. And now we can focus on the attack, which, let's face it, it's been a complete disappointment to this date. I mean, let's face it, we signed a $10 million guy, and we were all like, yeah, that's the guy. And all of a sudden, it's that attack hasn't showed up yet. Mm-hmm. And until it does, this is – we're in for a lot more frustration. It'll get worse before it gets better.
Of course, they go into Colorado this weekend and they steal 3 points, be a big boost, but a point on the road, it could be something. I mean, I think
on the road in Colorado would be a great result. Yeah. Any year. I mean, let's face it, Colorado's had our number forever, it seems, you know, and I'll be there. I'm going to be in Denver this weekend cheering on our team. And I'm be the first game, actually, my first game I've actually got to go see FC Dallas play live. And, I'll be there. I'll be cheering my heart out. And you bet I'm going to be sitting right between all the Rapids fans, because my family in Denver, they're Rapids backers. And believe you me, I will be feeling the heat. But I'll be cheering my heart out, and yes, 3 points in Colorado would be so, so sweet, especially since they're actually doing quite well this season and we're not. It'd be nice to reverse that role and for FC Dallas to be their bogey team for a change.
Well, turning to North Texas Soccer Club before we wrap up the show, a delightful performance, a really solid performance. For 95 minutes.
Against a good team.
Against a good team. Tacoma Defiance. North Texas went up 2-0. Tariq Scott with the goal and a debut goal for Ennis Solly. Really just good quality play overall. And I just love watching Solly play. The kid's talented. And he probably needs this time. He's young. He's still 18. He's got a lot of room to grow, so it's great to get him. And I just love the way John Gall has this team fighting. And granted, Tacoma came out in the second half and just pushed this young team to their limits. A lot of opportunities. And the whole North Texas all had to step up. Some good saves from Colodi again. And it's just a last 94th minute goal that got in that kept it from being a clean sheet. Otherwise, it was just about one of the best performances from North Texas we've seen in a while. So, did you get to watch the match, Jose?
I only got to watch bits and pieces of it, in all honesty. And what I did see, I liked. This is a young team that, you know, they're buying into what Gall is teaching them, what he's showing them. And he's a, let's face it, he knows this team very well, and it's showing. You know, it's this team's buying into what he's teaching them. They're getting results, and they've escaped some potential losses. And that you know, by scoring last second goals and stuff like that, that stuff that shows you that you're on the right path. So them beating a very solid Tacoma team at home it continues that. It continues to build confidence. This team is undefeated this season, and if they were to win their next match, they would actually be 1 point out of first place, because they actually have a game in hand on the leaders right now. And this is a team that is basically, their two best players are Scott and Sali right now, and if those guys are firing all cylinders, this team could do a lot of damage in MLS Next Pro.
Good stuff. Yeah, good stuff. And I did get to, I don't have the video for it, but I did ask Sali after the game, just sort of about his transition to FC Dallas and to the organization. You know, and I told him that fans, you know, are really curious about seeing him with the senior team, but he was just, to his credit, really humble. Just said everyone has been very welcoming, very supportive, and he's just happy to play and to step in and do whatever is asked of him to do. And so he didn't have a lot to say other than he's just, you know, he's going to play with North Texas until they need him with the senior team, and then he'll take those opportunities when they come. So he's just a bright talent. I'm really excited about him, and I tell you, if you get down from watching FC Dallas, go and watch the North Texas. You're going to see those young guys who are just trying to make a name for themselves, who are flying around on the field and are trying things and being daring and courageous and putting their bodies on the line for a lot less pay than these guys do in Major League Soccer. So it's in some cases it's just pure soccer. It's just fun. It's just fun to watch.
I mean, until last season being an aberration by North Texas standards, they have been traditionally a very entertaining team to watch. You know, young talent. They play a attacking ball. They're a very exciting team to watch. I mean, last year was the exception, but it looks like they've gotten back to playing North Texas soccer club football right now, and that's great. That's great. They're definitely a team that in the past I'd look forward to watch whenever FC Dallas had a bad week, and last year we didn't have that to fall on. So it's nice to see that, you know, kind of return, and I'm very excited where this team is headed going forward, because it's a young team, and they're only going to get better.
All right. Well, I think we're going to leave it there. Thank you, Jose, for jumping on a little late. But
thank you. Thank you, sorry for being late. I got a little sidetracked, but I always look forward to being here.
Thanks, RT, for your questions and comments. Thanks, everybody, for watching. And, of course, we'll post the audio on afterburn.soccer tomorrow for you to listen, and if you didn't catch it live. And, of course, we'll be posting some clips and some reflections as the week goes on the site, and we look ahead to FC Dallas against the Rapids. All right, good night, everybody.
All right. Good night.